Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're speaking to a beautiful P who is a member of the Fragile X community.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and swear words, really, doesn't it?
So often.
You might want to not listen around the children or put your AirPod buds in. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are.
I'm
always happy to be back here.
Me too.
It's just the best sort of job ever.
It is. Just skipping out of that house.
Oh,
sorry, just... gotta go to work.
Yeah,
on
sorry,
my podcast.
Sorry. Yeah, and you can't message me because my phone has to be on silent.
I'll be getting messages, don't you worry.
Will. There'll
can
be
you pick
a message.
Me up?
Yeah, every single.
Every week.
Yeah, at the same time, we get can you pick me up? That's cute.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, how's your week been?
Yes, fine.
Yep, all fine. We're still out of lockdown.
We are.
We still don't have masks all the time.
Yep.
But by the time this comes out, who knows? We're very wary now of commenting on anything about
That's
COVID.
That's right. Yeah.
Because we're always a week behind.
Yeah. So far, so good.
So today, it's all good. Yes. And just for Annalise, weather a little bit chilly
bit,
in Melbourne.
Bit cold. I'm not happy with that.
Apparently cooler summer in 30 years.
Yeah. La Nina.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'm happy to not have a week of 43. So I'm fine.
Hey, Pease, guess what? Mandy and I have been asked to address the Bureau of Meteorology.
Yes, we have.
So that weather chat has paid off. Take that, Annalise.
We are speaking to the bomb.
We're speaking to the bomb, sadly via Zoom, but as soon as we're allowed to go in there, they're going to give us a tour of the whole bomb.
If I could have videoed Molly, she just hit
everyone I've told.
Her hands, her head in her hands, like, wow.
I know. Oh, we're taking her.
Yeah.
Oh, even the work boys are like, are you serious? This is amazing.
Anyway, we have got a guest here.
We have got a guest. We've got a beautiful pea mum.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce our guest?
Well, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Monique.
And whereabouts
are you?
Sydney. Oh, you're in Sydney. Okay.
Yes.
Sydney
pea. Yeah.
And have you got hot weather?
It's kind of coolish today. I like the cooler summer.
Yes,
me too.
Well, after a year of bushfires, I think
we
deserved a not hot summer.
Yes, thank you.
I know Perth might have a different story in Adelaide, but, you know, us other coast, it's been cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll ask our questions, Monique, and then we'll get to know you.
Yep.
So you want to go first?
Yep. So our first question is, do you have a song or songs or a band that gets you either through the good times or sort of pumps you up in the bad times?
It's kind of a few, probably.
Yeah.
Big music person. When I'm out walking and stuff, I tend to listen to podcasts rather than music.
Yep.
But one thing that I always go back to is a bit of Bob Evans.
Ah.
And probably a bit of an odd one, but we really love it. We use some of his music in our wedding.
I don't know him.
Used to be in Jebediah.
Yeah.
So a bit old school, a bit folksy, but I love it. Yeah, so that one will feel nice.
No, that's good.
And did you win any awards at school?
I can only remember one, and I won an art award.
Oh, that's one more than us. Yeah.
And what was it for? Was it a painting or what?
It was just kind of an end of year, general award that they give out, but I got all of these fancy paints, like this whole kit.
Did you get that as a prize?
Mm, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. I love hearing about these awards.
Me too. They're my favourite.
All right. And the big question, why are you a P?
I am a P because I have two children with Fragile X syndrome. Mm.
And so we will explain what Fragile X is, but would you like to start there or would you like to tell us about your pregnancy journey first?
Maybe I will start by giving a quick explanation of what Fragile X is.
Sure.
So Fragile X is a genetic condition, so it's an inherited condition. So people with what they call full mutation Fragile X, which both of my children have, often have other features like autism, ADHD, anxiety is a big one. A lot of those kind of depression, mood problems, aggressive behavior. Times, repetitive behaviours, lots of those sorts of things that most people would kind of just associate with autism. But X is kind of the underlying cause for autism in people. So it's just it's on it's re- the reason it's called Fragile X is related to the X chromosome. So boys only have one, girls have two. So boys tend to be more affected because kind of have that spare X chromosome to pick up the slack of the not so great one. So case for us as well. So Taz, he has ASD level 3, and we've had some behavioural issues, through processing stuff, communication delay, lots of those kinds of things that are pretty typical in boys with Fragile X. And my daughter Jules, she also for mutation but doesn't have a diagnosis of ASD, but she does struggle with ADHD and some learning difficulties and anxiety. As you can imagine, most people with Fragile X, it's a mix of therapies and a lot of therapies. And also
I bet there is.
For some people, if they choose to go down that road, which we did, but obviously that's something that for everybody, and depends a lot on the child. So, it's a big spectrum. It's like autism in that sense that some people are mildly affected and some people are severely affected. Really know where our kids sit in that at this point in time. We think that Jules will live, in the kind of mainstream world, fairly successfully, but. Taz, he'll always need some kind of support to, for daily activities and to look after himself and to get around. So that's kind of a bit of a nutshell of what Fragile X is. I'm not an expert, I'm just a parent with kids with Fragile X.
Yeah, none of us are, but we're all just telling our stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So our diagnosis is we got Taz's diagnosis 2 years ago. And then my daughter was diagnosed a couple of months after that.
So he came first. And so how old was he?
He was 4.
Right.
Yeah. So it was good because it explained a lot. It gave us a lot of answers that we
didn't know. When do children typically get diagnosed with Fragile X? When?
It ranges quite a lot, I think. I think that probably around 3 is what I've heard. If it's the first child that gets diagnosed, because often I think it's about half of children who are diagnosed with Fragile X also have a sibling with Fragile X.
Right.
You know, because usually it's not a diagnosis that happens at birth.
Yes.
You know, it happens later on down the track because of developmental delays and so forth. Right. So a lot of families already had more kids by the time their child is diagnosed. And so it's quite common to come across families with more than one child with Fragile X.
Mm. Right, right.
And so that was genetic testing?
Yeah. So we got some genetic testing done really just to rule it out because there were sort of a range of things that were just not quite where they needed to be. You know, his communication wasn't great. His behaviour wasn't great, socially not great. And there was just kind of, you know, what is this? Is he going to catch up? Will he catch up? You know,
yes.
why is he struggling in all of these areas? And we had him assessed ASD prior to the genetic screening, and they said that he didn't have ASD, and they just sort of grouped it into a global development delay. And so we were like, okay, he doesn't have autism. So what's going on? Like, why isn't he catching up? So our pediatrician did some genetic screening just as a matter of course, just to say, look, let's just test for everything, rule it out, and then we know it's not those things, and then we can look at other strategies that we can put in place. And then a little while later, lo and behold, came back with Fragile X. So it explained a lot.
How did your pediatrician tell you that? How did they deliver that news?
Yeah, well, I have to say this is something that I talk about a lot, actually, is the way that the diagnosis was delivered. We were very fortunate. Our pediatrician delivered that diagnosis very, very well.
It was great.
I imagine it's a hard thing to do well. And yes. I've heard some other parents, but he was, you know, he called us into his office on a day he doesn't normally see patients. So the time that we needed. My husband didn't actually come with me because we didn't think it was going to be anything.
Yes.
I went in and we dialed up my husband on the phone, and then he delivered us the diagnosis then. But he was very clear, like he said, this is what it is. Gave us a little kind of a brief summary of what Fragile X was, and then just let us ask questions, really. And then he just left the room and just let my husband and I talk over the phone with each other to make sure we didn't have any other questions. And then he came back and answered anything else that we had. But the way that he delivered it.
Cry. Yeah. That's beautiful.
I know. Talking about it can be hard, but.
Yes, it is hard.
Yes, takeaway that I got from that diagnosis was that, I don't know if he actually said these words, but it's what I remember of it, was that I was leaving the room I walked in with. And so
that's so true.
When we got the diagnosis, I looked at him and I was just like, I was so shocked by the diagnosis. But when I left, I still had the same child and nothing had changed.
Yes. No.
And he was just as happy walking out as he was walking in. And so I think
yes,
you know, helped a lot in the in us processing that diagnosis. And it was
actually a
lot.
Really important thing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that is quite important to me.
Yes.
You know, the way that information is given. You know, told that their child will never be able to walk, they'll never be able to talk, they'll never keep a soccer ball. You know, drive, they'll never do this and that. And it's just not necessarily true.
That's right.
No.
My son.
And there are lots of people that don't do some of those things that can anyway. Like it's like they're the only things that matter in that point, or that the pediatrician or whoever has chosen to tell you. But, you know, I don't kick many soccer balls either. I mean, I can, so I don't want to make light of it. But what I'm saying is we choose other things that we're good at and that we enjoy. So you know, our precious kids can do that too.
Yeah. And
how
my
did
son
you,
can kick
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Very well.
Yeah, I bet he can. How did you do that drive home that day?
Yeah, that was tough. Actually, when I left the patient's office, because his office is in our local private hospital where my kids were born. And when I walked out of his office, it's right next to the maternal health nurse, her office there. And I had known her because I had seen both of the kids with her at the front of her office, and I just saw her and burst into tears.
Yes.
So she pulled me into her office and I just sat with her and we just sort of talked for a little bit. And then once I felt like I was more composed, then I drove home, and thankfully it was only, you know, a 10-minute drive. But yeah, it was weird. It was a very surreal day. We basically shut everything out for 2 weeks, and we drank wine and made takeout, and didn't go to work and spent
kids. Yep.
Yep.
And then at the end of 2 weeks, we just said, right, okay, time to
we're ready
organize. And then we just went out.
Wow, that's great. Just not great, started but like lining you're on the same up. Page.
He was already an OT in speech, but
yep.
So we went into a specialized preschool and started looking at schools for him because he had a year left of sort of preschool and then he was going into kindy. So we started looking at schools. We were like, when the school that he's at now, he goes to a special school, and the first people with the application in, you know, we'd already gone and had a look at it. We went to the open day, had all the paperwork ready. I literally just filled it out and sent it off that night. And
what a lucky kitty is to have a mum like that.
Yeah, so we just were action stations after that. You know, we just kind of flew into organised mode.
And how was your family?
The extended family.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, so this was when you have a genetic diagnosis like this, you know, it's hard as well as the parent, you know, who's just received that diagnosis for their child.
Mm.
It's a burden that sits with you. Then you have to communicate that to your extended family.
Yes, mummy.
And there's, you know, there's some implications I have some cousins and second cousins that hadn't had children yet, some that did have children. And so obviously my brother got tested, my mum got tested, her siblings got tested, and she has a sister and two brothers. And we know that at least two of them are also carriers. My mum is a carrier. So we know which part of the family it came from. I got the results from others because I didn't require them to tell me. Obviously, that's up to them if they share
that. Yes.
I did encourage them to get tested. You know, when sometimes people say, how do you feel about the diagnosis? I would say, equal parts devastated and grateful, because while it was really hard to hard to deal with, this, and you sort of mourn that future that you thought, all those options that you thought would be open to your child, which don't feel like they're there anymore. Sorry. But
No, that's okay. We understand.
That's the hardest part for me.
Huge.
But
that's right.
And then to have all the answers, and it's done a lot of good for our family. Sorry.
Yes.
No, please. Okay. You never. This is a crying podcast.
Yep.
It's real, and you'd never have to
thank
say
you
sorry.
For sharing with us.
Thank you for giving us your beautiful story. Yeah.
I'm usually really good at talking about it, but something about this is making me cry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, because you know that we've had similar times.
And you know that the beautiful people listening.
Yeah, all understand.
They understand, and they have. Yeah. Some of them are going through it right now.
I'm sure, yes, which is one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this, because I remember how it felt, you know, it for us. And when you have a diagnosis like that, it can feel really isolating because you don't know, what Fragile X was. And I didn't know who to speak to. But just going back to the family stuff, I'll round that off. You know, I communicated out to all of the extended family that Taz had been diagnosed, and this was prior to my daughter being diagnosed. And I said to them, you know, this is what it is. It can have implications for carriers as well as people that are considered for mutation. It would be worth getting tested. And we, by that point, because the day after the diagnosis, our pediatrician had arranged for the Genetics of Learning Disability Service to call us arranged to see us. We saw them very quickly. So we saw the genetic counsellor and the geneticist, so they could answer all our questions. And then it just kind of went from there. And so I gave those details to the family and I said, if you want to get tested, you can talk to them directly. You don't need to come through me. Members of the family did. And what it has given us, it has explained not just in the kids, but for my mum. And I checked with her before I did this to make sure she was happy with me talking about this. But she had quite early menopause when she was 32. And that was happened with somebody else in the family. And that's something that can happen with Fragile X carriers. So it's called, I think, Fragile X premature pregnancy. But basically can cause fertility problems and early menopause. There's also another condition that comes with being a carrier, particularly in male carriers, called Fragile X, it was called FX-TAS, which is, I've got it written down somewhere, Fragile X Tremor Ataxia Syndrome, which presents a lot like Parkinson's disease with tremors.
Yes.
And my uncle was being treated for Parkinson's. And when the diagnosis was known and they discovered he was a carrier, they now believe that it's FX-TAS, not Parkinson's. And so his treatment has been changed.
Right. Fascinating.
So, you can see,
so important to know, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So it can have a big knock-on effect. You know, and carriers, I haven't had any health concerns being a carrier besides some anxiety, which is really common in carriers. And that's something that my mum has experienced as well. And so, you know, in that way, it's kind of a bomb that goes off in the whole family. It's not kind of isolated to
I can imagine.
Diagnosis. That was a hard conversation to have with our family. And
How did you do that?
It was hard. It was really hard.
Did you email them? Did you call them? How did you?
I sent out an email to all of the family initially because I couldn't have a conversation over the phone.
No. And it's not actually your job. It's not, I mean, you feel a responsibility, but you're also going through the diagnosis at that point.
Yeah, definitely. So we were still learning. We didn't have anything. So I didn't want to have to try and answer any questions. And so I sent an email and then thankfully my mum picked up some of that. So she spoke to some of the family.
Great.
And,
your mum.
That liaison a little bit with the extended family. But it was hard for her as well.
Yes, it's hard for the grandmas.
Because she loves you and she loves them.
And that's what my mum said to me.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. Mm. And my kids are my parents' only grandkids. And, you know, after their diagnosis, they didn't live in Sydney. They lived a few hours down the coast. So we actually drove down there and told them in person.
Yes.
They're really close with the kids. Mm. And then about 12 months later, they moved to Sydney.
That's what's important.
Family's what's important. They just
wanted to be closer.
Yeah.
And to help us more with the kids. My dad still works. So he was deployed a few years ago in the Middle East.
Wow.
So he's still quite active. So, and my mum is retired now, but she runs the canteen at my son's school now.
Oh, I love your mum.
She's a canpy.
She is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and she loves it. And it's 2 days a week because, you know, it's a pretty small school. And she also volunteers at my daughter's canteen. She does a lot for us. Yeah.
What a great nana.
We're very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we've been so lucky. We've had a lot of support around us and my husband's family as well, you know. My kids are not short on people who love them.
Yay.
They've got a bunch of cousins on that side, so and they love that. It can be tricky for my son because, you know, a lot of other kids can be hard.
Yes.
But they all still love him.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
As long as everyone has tricky times, don't they? Oh, she's the biggest cousin.
And I think sometimes the cousins sort of get a little bit left out of the conversation, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have their own stories to tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can be the most important support because they're loved, that, you know, it's that different love, family love.
Yeah.
And so they can see the awesome child underneath the diagnosis because they're just kids as well.
Yeah.
And I think we underestimate how important cousins are. And I think it was when we spoke to Tristram.
Yes.
A few episodes back, like a year ago or something, I think. But he said his cousins are basically his best
sibling,
friends.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so important.
Mm.
Yeah, that's nice. Mm. I mean, we're about an hour away from the cousins, but we still do see them when we can.
Yeah.
I think they've just always known him. And, he's just him. And that's
it. That's right.
They know to make some adjustments, for him.
I like that they can make adjustments and he doesn't have to.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the family is, everyone just kind of adapts to him when and everyone's pretty happy with that. You know, we don't get any pushback in terms of, making Christmas a fairly quick event. Not staying up, staying out there really late at night and all those sorts of things, important, and there are limits. The social exhaustion and the social hangover.
Yes, all of it.
That I think we all get. But announced for some of these kids.
And tell us about your daughters and diagnosis. Who brought that up? Was it the pediatrician? And
She was really tested as a matter of course, but we weren't surprised with her diagnosis because we already knew that she had ADHD. And combined type, for those who understand. And she's always been a really anxious kid. She was a tough baby. She would scream if anyone came to the house. Very anxious kid, but we all just kind of assumed, that was just her personality. She's an anxious kid, So she was tested, but by the time her results came back, we knew a bit more about Fragile X, and we actually got that phone call. I got that phone call when I was in the car on my birthday.
Of course.
It was hard. I had a bit of a cry, but we were much more prepared for that. And we were the first time. And I think because she is more like a typical kid, you wouldn't know. You just interacted with her in passing.
Yeah.
Son would definitely be able to tell. You can't. It has a different meaning for her than it has for my son. Because of that, I think I'm probably a bit more protective of discussing her diagnosis. I mean, I'm happy to do it here.
Yes, of course.
Protective of her.
No, I know what you mean.
Her diagnosis.
Yes, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because she is in that sort of mainstream world, and she is much more understanding. Yeah, her diagnosis, and so I kind of leave it up to her whether she wants to tell people. So I know she's told some of her friends, we tell who to tell. I always have a meeting with her teacher at the beginning of every year. Explain what it is, how it impacts us, and ways to make things a little easier for her in the classroom. The school's very, very supportive. We've been very lucky.
Good. Awesome. And does she like school?
She does. She loves it.
Oh, that's the best. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. First day of school, she's straight in the door. Cannot get in there quick enough.
Fantastic. What about your son?
Yeah, he likes it as well. He goes through phases, and we're going through a phase of not wanting to wear the uniform. Mornings are tricky.
Does he go on a bus or do you take him?
We're really lucky. The school is only 10 minutes from my house.
Wow.
And my daughter's school is only 5 minutes from his school. So it's a nice hand quite close by.
Yeah.
My husband and I have both been working from home for the last 12 months.
Yeah.
So between the two of us and my mum and my dad sometimes when he's around, we manage the drop-offs and pick-ups between us.
Oh, great.
Nice. I wasn't ready for him to go on a bus because he doesn't understand.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think, and if you're close enough,
yes.
If you're close enough, it's way less stress than putting them on the bus.
Yes.
Yeah.
The bus takes a long time. Yeah.
It does. Well, different schools do it differently.
Okay. Sorry.
I think. But my daughter's bus takes an hour, which it would be like a 15-minute drive otherwise. So we've stopped it now that she's a teenager because it was causing way too much anxiety.
Yeah, and it's a long time to hold it together.
It is. And she would be starting to cry as she walked down the stairs of the bus. Yeah. I was like, so okay.
This doesn't work.
This is not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like for us, you know, we pick him up and, you know, especially in kindy, he was asleep before we.
Yes.
Yes. It's so tiring.
Half the time.
So tiring.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, school is hard.
It
and
is.
It's
hard.
It is a big day of lots of social interaction.
Yes,
it is.
Lots of being asked to do things that he doesn't necessarily want to do.
Yep.
And in a special school, there's lots of behaviours. So there's a lot of other children that live in their lives, but sometimes that can be tricky.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm. So I think things get a bit, you know, but he does like it and I'm really happy with the school.
Good.
Yeah, great. It's a relief.
It feels like the right fit for him.
Yeah. And his nana's the canteen lady.
I mean, you can't get better than that. Getting a free
Big
red
M
skin. Or now it's just healthy, you know, toasted cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. There's like we have – the school uses some locally made hot meals.
Awesome. So
you know, butter chicken and
I know, it's amazing.
Stuff. Yeah, it's great.
I know. The hot dogs and finger bun days are gone.
Yeah, they are.
They're gone.
How did you – I'm assuming you're on NDIS?
We are.
Yeah, how have you been able to navigate that?
It's been really great for my son. I think he is in his last year of the early intervention.
Oh, yes.
Right, yep.
And so I feel like we've had some really good funding for him.
Great.
Mm.
But it took a long time to get the funding and we were paying everything out of pocket for about a year.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. It's a lot.
Quite a lot. And we were doing weekly speech, weekly OT.
Yes.
Plus all of the, you know, the medical appointments on.
Mm.
And I wasn't working at that point because it was impossible.
No. Yep.
And so, yes, we do have good NDIS funding for him and for Jules, not so much.
No, it's very hard to get with that sort of a diagnosis, isn't it?
It's really hard because they say it's not diagnosis-based, but I believe an ASD diagnosis, it would probably help our case.
Yes, it would. Yep, 100%.
But, yeah, I don't want to go down that road with her right now.
No,
yeah.
It's a really hard fight. You've got to
have the energy for that.
So instead I'm just getting a bunch of assessments redone for her.
Yep.
You know, kind of putting together a case to increase her funding.
Yep.
That's a fun project that I've got going on the side.
Such a fun project.
It's just,
Yeah.
Such spare time.
Yeah.
Let's collate.
It's a great file, isn't it? And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, you've emailed it, but the last page is missing. They actually want the original with your signature.
Sure.
Oh. And when they ring in, could you just get, no, I can't just get. But you're like, yes, okay.
Oh.
Anyway.
I love it when they say, can you just get the specialist to do this? And it's like, sure, in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Exactly.
Turns out the specialist has a beach house up the coast and they've taken off. So,
well, they've just had a baby.
Or, yes.
You know.
Or they've got 27,000 kids in line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Anyway,
once again,
quite as easy as
people do not make this up.
No.
You're not going to try and get on the NDIS unless you need it. So, anyway, we can talk about this for hours.
And I actually did a survey that I posted around some Facebook groups at one point, and then I collated some results about how people feel about the NDIS and their experience.
Interesting.
And their fears around, you know, the future of it.
Yes.
I collated it. I did a presentation. I took it to my local member's office and sat down with his NDIS.
Monique, well done.
This is the power of the woman. Yes. I love it.
Tell us the findings.
I don't know if it actually did much, but I felt pretty good about it.
Well, you know what? He or she, your MP, will have now heard more and learnt more.
We thought that about our first podcast episode.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know.
You just don't know.
Yeah, and maybe it's just like lots of little splinters.
Yeah.
Until that becomes too annoying and they've got to do something.
What were
about
the main takeaways?
There was at the time, I'm trying to remember what was going on at the time. It might have been around the time of the last election, but there was a lot of fear from people that the NDIS would lose funding.
Yes.
Or get gutted, or that they would change the eligibility rules to reduce the amount of money spent on it. I think there was just a lot of fear because I had just seen that in some of the conversations that I'd had with other parents. Yep. Online and in person, you know, people were quite worried about
it. Yes, yeah.
And people also just found the process really hard and
it really is.
Really know what they were supposed to do and didn't, like for us, one of the reasons it took so long, and it was really my ignorance, but, you know, we were working with, you know, you go through the local person and then you have to submit something to NDIA and they have to say, yeah, that's cool, you can be on NDIA. There was a whole step in that process that was just never done. No. And so, like 6 months going,
it just gets lost.
Eventually, you'll hear, and then then they changed the local provider, and then I contacted the new one, and I was like, "Oh, I just want to make sure we haven't lost our spot in the queue." And then they realised that this step had never been done, and just languishing out there, you know. Oh.
I know everyone makes mistakes, but some of them are bigger than others, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was costing us $1,200 therapy costs.
Yes.
So
and,
it
you
was,
know,
yeah.
Like Mandy says, and I know this sounds incredibly first world privilege, but her beautiful husband has hearing aids that cost a lot of money and it means their family can never have a holiday, right? So on one hand, so lucky to be able to afford the hearing aids so that he lives a fulfilling life. On the other hand, Mandy's never getting to SeaWorld, you know?
I'm really not because I'm buying those hearing aids.
So while it's... You know, you're of course you're going to pay it.
Of course, that is, it just goes without
saying.
Yeah,
there's
in
not
our
even a discussion about it. But also, it does have a huge impact. So if the NDIS covered more,
no, they won't. They'll give us a little thing that he can wear to watch TV, but they won't pay for hearing aids.
Yeah, and he can't have his job without them.
I just need hearing aids to work. you know, anyway,
that's crazy.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No,
so it doesn't.
Anyway.
Anyway, that's
once
my
again,
own, that's
off on a tangent.
I know, sorry. That's what we're going through at the moment because we've got three plans in our house and, you know, blank out Mandy Town. That's what it happens. I just start zoning out because I can't cope with any of it.
No.
Yeah.
No, and that's okay.
Mm.
Yeah, so sorry. Back
it's
to
a
you.
Lot, it's a lot, isn't it? It's such a it's a big admin task.
It really is.
But we also, funnily enough, have a bit of a behaviour plan going on for our dog at the moment.
Right. For the dog. Tell me, I need one of them too.
He's a 12-year-old beagle. So he's, I think he's starting to lose his marbles a little bit.
Yeah, poor baby.
Yeah. So he's a bit confused and he's a bit deaf, a little bit blind.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, not really 100% sure what's going on around the place. And so he's had a couple of we've had a couple of biting incidents. Unfortunately.
Oh no!
Yeah,
everyone's on.
Luckily, not the children.
No, no. Thank goodness.
No. I know.
Yeah, so we're sort of putting some things in place for him. So he'll be the next one to go on anti-anxiety.
He will. He will. And they bring out a pet one.
He'll have his own chart on the wall. What has to happen, what therapies he's going to.
Yeah, that's right. You just think, mate, I don't have time for this.
No, you've got to be a good
dog. You've got to be a good dog in this family.
I know.
Yeah.
And our other dog that died about a year and a half ago, he was on all these heart medications. Oh. So we had, you know, those packs that's like Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, the dog. That's how I felt when the guinea pig had the impacted poo. I was just like, I do not have time for this. So you have to laugh. Yeah. Has there been times where you have been able to laugh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the beautiful things about Fragile X is people with Fragile X tend to have a really good sense of humour.
Oh,
awesome.
What a great thing.
That's something we need to hear about.
Yeah, so it's I mean, my kids are still pretty young, but yes. My son, he's just like, he's so cheeky.
Yeah.
You know, he's very clever, you know. It's hard. He can't read, he can't write, can't do those things at the moment.
Yeah, I understand.
But he's clever, mm-hmm. you know. Jokes on people.
Yeah.
You know, riles his sister up and thinks it's hilarious. He has lots of little games that he plays, like with my husband, where he gets his phone. He's like, "I got your phone."
Yeah, cute.
But he laughs so hard at his own jokes that he can't actually even walk because he's laughing so hard.
Sounds like the right guy for us. Mandy and I, this will have been over and done by the time you hear this, but we're doing a presentation for International Women's Day. We're cracking up at what we're saying.
Oh, well, I put that in Kate. That's
fantastic.
And then we're
like, is this even funny? We just think it's funny.
We think we're
so
hilarious.
We're on his team.
Yeah. He thinks he's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Is hilarious.
And I think it's a different intelligence.
It is a different intelligence, and no one is monitoring it.
No one is.
No.
And because, you know, we're all drawn to comedians because they just bring all that joy. And when you've got kids who do that, you can't describe it. You just never know what's coming out of those little mouths. It's the best.
Yeah. I look over at my support work and we're both going like this, like, what's coming? I noticed she started doing it too, like, okay, and oh. But no one talks about that stuff, but that's the joyful stuff we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's really fun, and it's quite cool because the kids are both quite, they're also, my daughter's very creative and she's really funny as well, and she just has a really nice way of connecting with people. Everyone just seems to really click with her, especially like her therapist. And she's got, both of my kids do one-on-one swimming lessons, and her teacher, who we just absolutely love, is, they just, my daughter went to her wedding, you know, like they just love each other. She's just had a baby herself recently.
It's a swim teacher.
It's a swim teacher.
What time are your lessons? I really want to know.
Both kids are in at 2:20 on a Saturday.
Perfect.
That's a good time.
That's a perfect time.
Yeah.
Great. I don't want to hear about this.
I'd like actually to see a survey of the amount of P kids that have had individual swimming lessons.
Yeah, probably all of them.
Because everybody I know.
Yeah, all of us.
We are the individual swimming team.
We are. We need an own Australian team for that.
We do.
Yeah, no, they have to be in one-on-one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tell us about the Fragile X community. How did you join it? Is there somewhere to go?
Yeah, there is. So the Fragile X Association of Australia, big shout out to those guys. They're amazing. So I actually had a chat to them yesterday, knowing that I was doing this, just to make sure I had facts straight. just for their kind of input and a bit of a chat. And so they organise some like peer support Zoom chats as well with other parents and with kids of varying ages. Some have recently diagnosed some kids. So I participate in some of those as well. which is really good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Four times, you know, when you're allowed to see people in person, they used to organise lots of events, picnic days and things like that. But obviously a lot of that we've been doing remotely for the last 12 months. But no, they're great. Really
Isn't
good
that
resource.
A loss, not being
Such
able to get
loss.
Together
loss.
With your people? Yeah. It's a loss. Yeah.
And I think other people, I mean, everyone, that has been the thing with the pandemic. We really all have been in that same boat, even though some boats are more rickety.
Yeah.
But everyone's realised what it's like to be vulnerable and lonely at home.
Mm.
But it's, I'm sorry, but it's so much more exacerbated when you live with a disability or your children live with a disability. And you really need that support.
Yeah.
It's not just a want.
And you've put that in your diary for the year.
Yes.
That's your day to go. Yeah.
We're going to do this and then bam, bam, picnic by Zoom, not quite the same.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad there's good people around you.
Yes, I'm glad. We'll put their association in the show notes. So
I think hopefully
now in Australia when people get newly diagnosed, they get automatically hooked up with those groups. But it's good. Some people are hesitant to join. So it's good to hear that it's a really good group.
Yeah, and I understand that. I was the same. I reached out to the association and spoke to them quite early on, but I wasn't ready to talk to other parents straight away. It took time. So I connected, they connected me with another parent who had an adult son with Fragile X, because when we got the diagnosis for my son, I was really fixated on the future. And I couldn't stop thinking about
it. Yes, me too.
And I just kept thinking, what is this going to look like when he's 15? What's it going to look like when he's 25? What's it going to look like when he's an adult? And what happens when I can't look after him anymore? And so I
waited
on those
things.
So they connected me with somebody who had an adult son with Fragile X, and it was really useful for me just to sort of get that insight. Possibly. It's one person's experience. It's one, you know.
I know.
One person. This is not going to be the same as my experience, but it was, it was just really helpful to have that glimpse into somebody else so that I could say, okay, you know, this might be okay in the future.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember meeting a woman whose daughter was about 8 or 9 and she had diaplegia, which is 2-leg cerebral palsy, and my girl had just been diagnosed, and she just said to me, I wouldn't change her for the world. And I was like, in that really like, well, I would.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I get to that?
You just have to get there. And
you
that's
just have to get there in your time.
We're years down the track.
Yeah, we are.
And I think that's another beautiful thing about Melanie's book special.
Yes.
Where she's like, it's okay to just be okay today.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but it is okay.
Yeah.
When,
But
we all do it. Come on, 2 o'clock in the morning, bam, big trouble.
Awake. I'm worrying about
you are catastrophizing 20 years down the track.
Yeah. I've gotten better at controlling that.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
But I think that as he's gotten a bit older and I see progress in him.
Yes.
Language is improving and his behaviors are improving and his skills are improving. It gives me hope. You know, I tend to try and focus more on his timeline.
Absolutely.
How he's improving and his progress rather than praying too much, because I don't know. And it's hard to say because Fragile X has not been diagnosed for that long. I think it was years ago.
How long?
About 30 or 40 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but it's not like, you know, we've known a lot about it for 100 years.
Yes.
And so people who say my age, so I'm 40. And if, you know, someone who's my age who was diagnosed with full mutation Fragile X, you know, as a child, wouldn't have the same and the same knowledge, like medical understanding that my kids have now. So
yes, true.
Hard to even look at someone who's 40 now and say what it'll be like for my children, because it won't necessarily be that way.
No.
Conditions that we've had.
That early intervention. That's right.
So it's an interesting kind of thought, you know. And then the next generation hopefully will be even better. And then hopefully one day they'll be able to detect it and fix it.
Yes. Come on.
Come on, scientists.
Yeah, all the vaccine doctors can swap over to that because they've done a good job with the vaccine.
Yeah.
We want that same intensity.
And it's important that we all know about these conditions as well and that they're screened for because, you know, Taz is an IVF baby.
Yeah.
When we were trying to have children, like it took us a long time and our daughter was almost an IVF baby. We'd started the stuff, but then thankfully she came along naturally. It wasn't the same the second time around. We did three rounds of IVF.
Enormous.
Yeah, so we didn't ever get anything for the freezer either. So those who have gone through IVF understand, you know, being able to buy the freezer. We didn't, and so we did three full cycles until the final one. We got two viable embryos, and one of them ended up being our son, and the other one was in the freezer. And for a long time after he was born, we debated whether or not to use that embryo. And then when we got the diagnosis, it was an even harder decision because
I think
I'm very emotionally attached to that embryo. And
yes, of course.
It's yours.
Wanted to use it or at least give it a chance. But I came to the realization that we'd have to have genetic testing and all that sort of stuff done. And we were just at the point where we thought, well, if we decide to go for that third child, then we commit to that third child regardless. And we just didn't think that we were in a position to have a third child with an intellectual disability.
It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. And choosing. Of course you would love them and commit to them. But you have to help the ones you've got too.
That's right. Yeah. And because we had that choice of whether to use it or not, we ended up choosing not to, which was a really hard decision.
Yeah. But it's a loss.
I bet it was.
Yeah. Mm. It was hard because it was hard for us to have children, you know.
Yes.
Easily. And then to be kind of confronted with this diagnosis for both of the children.
Yes.
It's almost, I think I said in my email to you, Mandy, it's part of the whole story.
Yes, it is.
What we went through, you know, to have children and then given that diagnosis, not that it's necessarily worse for us or better for us or anything like that. It's just, it's all part of the story.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah. Mm. And, so that was a pretty tough part of it. But I think that looking back on it, and I don't know if this is the case now, but I think that they screen for Fragile X a little bit more.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Women that are having problems with fertility because it can be problems in carriers.
Mm.
I certainly hope that they are considering that more because my children are awesome and I would never give them back.
No.
It's good for people to have that choice.
Yes, that's right. And knowledge is power, isn't it? And you go into things knowing this is what I can do. I've spoken to people who live in the community and you may not have the shock of diagnosis and all of that. So, I think most people would say we've got the technology, why not use it?
And in the email you talked about having PND as well, postnatal depression. Do you feel comfy telling us a bit about that?
Yeah, so that was after my daughter was born. Prior to having my daughter, you know, I worked in – you know, sort of digital agency land, and I worked full time and I ran a team and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had my daughter and then I had this tiny little baby and she was really little and she just screamed for three months.
Yeah.
And she just couldn't put on any weight. And
yes,
sort of considered failure to thrive. You know, she dropped off the chart.
Yes.
Which really helps a mum feel good.
Really helps a mum feel good.
Oh, yeah. It's like the one thing, and I can't do that.
Failure to thrive in the big green book. Yeah, yep.
Stop it.
Yeah. It's such an awful term.
It is.
It was just hard, and I was trying to breastfeed, and, you know, I went into it, I'll try to breastfeed. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But then once I was in it, I was, you know,
gets in your head.
Obsessed with it. And I just couldn't let it go. And But she was reacting to everything I was eating. And so basically just pooping nuclear sludge.
Yeah.
And it was, just, as you can imagine, kind of, you know, an intolerance poop in a baby.
Yes, yes.
It was just, she just couldn't gain any weight. And so I just started cutting things off my diet, but I couldn't have anything with any kind of dairy protein in it, no soy protein or anything, which
cut everything
pre-made in the world.
Yes.
Where I actually just stopped eating, and it wasn't okay, obviously. And my husband would come home from work, and he'd, at like 4 p.m. or something, he'd say, "What have you eaten today?" And I said, "Nothing." I just couldn't, and I couldn't put her down because she would just scream and she was refluxing. In the end, we just we went into the hospital once, and then, you know, it was all of this sort of back and forth, and they just thought it was feeding problems, yada yada. I went to Tris times,
yep,
and spent a bit of time there. I'm a repeat offender in Tresillian, and I ended up going to the hospital when she was about 11 weeks old, to the children's hospital, and just sitting in emergency saying, "I'm not leaving until you figure out what's going on."
Yeah, good.
Yeah, wow.
You know, it was the first time that I put my foot down, and
yeah, you were done.
Yep.
Came and saw us, and he said, "I think this is what's going on, and I think she needs to go on a prescription formula." And so we started giving her a little bit of that and saw a little bit of progress, but I was still not mentally ready to give up the breastfeeding. So off I went to Tresillian again. And I said my goal going in was to make a final decision about breastfeeding.
Right.
But by the end of my entry interview, I'd already made the decision to stop.
Yeah.
I just needed my own.
You needed support.
Yeah.
Supported me with that. And so we just, it helped me wean her pancake.
Yeah.
So, and I remember the last breastfeed I did, and then I went into the kitchen and I got a handful of, like, you know, those little individual cheeses.
Yes, baby.
And I just sat down with that cheese and I'm going to smash this cheese because I hadn't eaten.
That's amazing.
And I love cheese. I've not. I don't like, and I just love it. And I sat there with that cheese, and this rectum mother said to me, "Yeah, you know, everyone's like, what are you in for?" And I sort of briefly explained it. She said, "Well, it's because she gave her formula feeds when she was little. That's why you didn't have enough breast milk." And I was just like,
"Look at my middle finger."
I know. Well, how dare you say that to another vulnerable mother? Come on, women.
Come on. We're all doing the best we can.
Listen, we don't have to make judgment.
Oh, and why were you in there, lady?
Yeah, if you're so perfect. Yeah, that's right.
We're not there for fun.
No.
No, and actually I worked in the Melbourne equivalent, and they're beautiful places where women get help, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I wished I could have gone there, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But I didn't think
I'd
be able to. Yeah, well, good on you, because that's what they're there for.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Residential. I did 4 residentials in one day.
Good.
Yep, good.
Good. I'm glad.
Yep.
They're like,
I loved it. It's great.
Yeah, well, you get your meals made. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's someone there to help you with your baby, because we don't know what we're doing.
And it's unfortunately a man-made village for a week, you know, where women are coming in and helping each other, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that's how it should be,
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, that period of time was really hard, and I didn't really recognise the P&D in myself, but my husband
Came
one of the nurse appointments, and he just said to her, "I'm pretty sure she's got P&D."
Yeah.
And the nurse, and I was like, "No, I'm fine." It's like, we just need to sort her out, and when she's more settled, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But that was
it's
not the
case.
It's
also intertwined, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
And
it
did you start to feel better? More cheese, happy Monique.
More cheese. I think probably I ended up going back to work part-time when she was about 7 months.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I around that time that I started to feel a bit more normal.
Mm.
I just remember during that time it was just almost like a sense of dread. It sounds awful to say, but I remember a time where I was just like, what have I done?
Yes.
You know, it was those early days, and it was really, really but I'm very fortunate as well to have my best mate Claire. I know she's a listener, so she'll hear.
Hi Claire.
Hi Claire.
And we've been best friends since high school, and she has been an incredible support for us.
Aww.
When my daughter was a little baby, and she lived quite close to each other at that point, and she would come over at the drop of a hat and just be with me that day as I was having a
That's what we need.
She's amazing.
Yep. Well, good people friend.
Around us. Yep.
Yeah. Well done, Craig. Five stars from us.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely.
It's hard to be a friend.
And now that all our kids are at school, it's Friday lunches now.
Oh, so good. These are the best days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Enjoy them. Yep.
And so were you a little bit afraid of that happening again the second time, having a baby?
Yeah, I was more prepared. So I saw a really good psychologist after I had my daughter. Mm. And I continued on and off for quite a while.
Yeah.
Mm. We first started thinking about having a second one. I went back and saw her a few times throughout the IVF process. And after my son was born, I saw her a few times just, you know, to
check in.
Get ahead of it.
Yeah.
With more anxiety, I think, than depression.
Yeah. Well, they're so closely linked. And I think a lot of it was around
feeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I did a lot better the second time, but I definitely managed it a lot better as well and was a lot more aware of it.
And to have been able to go through IVF three times, like, that's enormous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were a lot more prepared the second time, and we put some other supports in place as well, you know, and I sort of knew a little bit more about how to structure my routine, how to
recognize
things in myself to help me, you know, adjust. And I think in some ways it was a bit easier the second time around because I wasn't just at home all the time.
My daughter was
there, and so I was out and about a lot more, whereas the first time I was home all the time because I was
just
so scared
home.
To take
I know.
I noticed that with my third. I was like, right, well, I'm breastfeeding on the log outside the school with the preps and my six-week-old.
Yes.
I didn't leave the house with the twins. I left once a week or something, you know? It's so different.
So different.
It's much better.
Yeah.
It's just that you don't know that the first time, so you can't tell yourself to do it.
No, and you haven't got people in the same boat as you.
You might
just be getting to know your new mum's group or something, but, you know, that's it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
And I was really scared when she was born. I just had this, I think it was part of, you know, what I was going through, but I was terrified that someone was going to take her away from me.
Yes.
So I was scared to take her out because I didn't like anyone walking close to her. I wouldn't even put her, like the bassinet down in the house that we had at the time downstairs. I would always make sure that I was between her and the front door.
Yeah, that's hyper-vigilant.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, which I didn't, you know, looking back, I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty intense. But at the time, it just made perfect sense to me.
Yes, of course. Yep, and that's sort of the paranoia that goes along with all of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And people don't know that there's some of the symptoms.
No.
That's why it's very hard to identify it in yourself. Because
but good to talk about it.
It makes sense in your own head.
Oh, it does make sense.
But thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And is there anything
quite different now? My son made it all the way down to the park the other day, and I didn't even know he'd left the house.
Welcome to mediocre mothering. That's the best. I love it when we get to that place.
Yeah. It was really good. It was my daughter that went and collected him.
Yeah, even better. You're eating your cheese. You're sitting down with your brie.
I was too busy. I was having a shower. I was taking my time.
So good.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Yeah. So before we finish, is there anything you want to tell us or
anything
we might
we've
have
missed?
I don't think so. I feel like we've covered a lot, haven't we? And I feel like we've gone off. Sorry.
That's what everybody says. That's every single person we interview. So that's just us. Yeah. It's not you. It's us, not you.
If you want to break up with us, that's what you'll say.
Yeah.
It was us.
It was us.
Or
not
if we
you.
Break up with you.
Yeah.
This is us.
It's always
you.
Us.
Hopefully that's been useful for some people out there.
Really?
It will.
Yes.
Everybody's. Yes.
I think everyone is watching the podcast. When are they going to do on this?
Yes,
when are they going to do
they
this?
Want their thing.
Oh, we've had enough of cerebral palsy, Mandy. Well, watch out. There's more to come, baby. Right?
Yeah, you're not hearing anything.
But, I mean, that's why we want to do this forever, because there's so many stories to tell.
Yep. All right.
I think if it's not necessarily the same, like, you know, not a Fragile X family or, you know. It's still, I find it really useful. Like, I listen all the time and I find it really useful because there's a lot of things that are common.
Yes.
We find it
definitely
useful.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so it's still useful, and it's a lot. And there's some of the funny stories and all those sorts of things, you know, I can relate to because we have our own version.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank
Monique.
You for being with us.
Yes, giving us your time today.
Yes,
it was lovely
to
meet you.
Love your story.
Yes. And thank you for being
in
the Patreon.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And hopefully we will get back to Sydney one day. And
hopefully.
I mean, we keep saying that, but if we could meet you in person one day, we'll be thrilled.
Yeah, we really would.
That would be great.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. See you.
Thank you.
Wasn't she gorgeous, Monique?
She was gorgeous.
Oh, she emailed us this week, and I had a beautiful pea lined up, but she had to take her daughter to emergency.
Yes, we're thinking of you, other beautiful pea.
We are, and we will get her back in at some time.
We
so,
will.
Monique was like, "Yep, I'll do it."
Yeah,
so that was
great.
Fantastic. So thank you, Monique,
for giving us sharing your story. It's hard.
It is hard,
and
it's
so
hard.
Worthwhile.
Even yesterday, when I had to share something in another podcast, I got teary, and I thought, "Wow, I've said this story so many times."
Oh no, it's
so. When you share it for your very first time publicly, we understand.
We really, really do. Yeah. It will always be raw. We're mothers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Oh.
Anyway, did anything make you cry this week?
Yes.
Amanda Jose.
Amanda Jose. Well, our last guinea pig died. Cresty, the person with the poo.
impacted
poo. Oh, it was sad. So we've had a long, we had 7 years of guinea pigs, and I was very sad when I saw he died, when I went in there to see him. And I was like, oh, Cresty, I'm sorry. Thank you. And then having to break it to the girls. And, you know,
again,
I just had a cry. And Darren's out there digging the hole.
Oh, they've got a whole graveyard.
We've got five guinea pigs in our backyard. So it's the same place. We have a little memorial.
Yeah.
We thank them for all the fun times.
Yeah.
But one of the girls took it really hard. So it's just a sad day.
Yeah, it is a sad day.
Yeah. So we cried. And we've had a hard couple of days with Molly, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's just been a bit tricky. I don't know if it's just settling into school for like the long haul.
Yes, because we were in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just had a bit of a cry the other day after she had a really hard time after school.
It's hard for them.
Anyway. It was hard for her. And then I felt that, oh, my gosh, even though afterwards and we'd all come out of it and everyone was okay, I felt this hangover. And I thought because we had about 3 years of after school, you know, tough times and we haven't had it for a while, I forgot that my body,
straight back.
My body's just so triggered.
Yep.
I just
absolutely.
I felt exhausted.
Yep. It's you are straight
so it's
back.
Not a, it's not a reflection on her.
No.
I'm, you know. Whatever she was feeling was tough, but it was really hard as the mum.
Yeah, that's right. That's okay, man.
Yeah. So I cried.
Mm.
What about you?
Well, mine's probably a bit pathetic, but I cried.
I love it when you say that.
When Dictator Dan, who we don't think is a dictator, said we could take our masks off again.
Yes.
So, you know, it means my boys don't have to wear them at
school.
It's been muggy and it's summer and I know
it's been awful.
People in Europe, I know. You are still doing it, and we really see
it's
you.
It's pretty hard in 38 degrees.
But it's hard in summer. And, of course, they have to wear them on the school bus. We still have to wear them at Bunnings and the chemist and the supermarket. But just going for a walk, we don't have to wear them. We don't have to wear them at work anymore. Oh.
I pulled them all back out. Kate came in my car, and she's like, got enough masks?
And he's got like 15 masks on her gear stick thing. But that's what life is like.
Well, I had to bring them all back out again.
You never leave without a mask.
And I was like, now I've got different outfits again.
Yep. Oh. Masks in all my bags.
Oh.
So, I mean, I know they're going to be here for a really long time. And I was saying the other day, look, probably if I do catch the train to the footy, I might pop one on.
Yes, that's right. And
I don't really want to catch everything.
No, and I'm actually fine with that.
Yes, I'm fine with them. But it was just nice to know that Victoria's in such a state that we don't need them.
Again, I'm thankful.
So that was my little, I just, you know, but I'm not thinking that they'll be gone, but it was nice to have a little break.
What about make a difference?
Okay, so my make a difference this week was going out with a bunch of girlfriends. So one of my beautiful friends had her birthday, Kate, who owns the beautiful Japanese restaurant Kumuni, and she also owns Peko Peko in Smith Street, yeah. Collingwood, if you're ever that way. Anyway, we went to the Gin Palace. Beautiful Katie, who's been on, organised this amazing night. And then it was warm in the city.
Oh.
And then we went to Cumulus Inc., which I don't know if any of you have ever been there, in Flinders Lane. I just felt like a real person.
It just ticked all your boxes.
It really did.
Yeah.
The food was beautiful. It was just all these fabulous middle-aged women who had no fucks, you know.
It's the best.
Just the best. And I don't know, just that sense of community. And it's been, it's probably been a year since we've had a proper, actually scheduled something, and it's happened and we haven't got shut down.
Yeah, so
It was really, really, really nice.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, well, we had the same. We went away with, I think there were 7 families for the week, and we do this every year. They're my old friends.
Mm. Did you do it last year or was it cancelled?
We did it just before the lockdown.
Right.
So we were all having flashbacks about this time last year.
Maybe we were joking. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Someone's having a Corona beer. Ha ha.
Yeah.
No, not funny now.
But my friends were really beautiful and sending me text messages before the weekend going, I'm just thinking of you in the lead up. I know coming away is tricky.
Yeah, oh, nice.
And then when I was down there, my friend Ange, who is on the podcast, she took Molly because all the teenagers wanted to go down the street by themselves.
Yeah.
Molly wanted to go, she was very scared to go without an adult. So then Ange went with her.
Oh,
and she said, you stay here. You need a break.
Yes.
And then I just went into the cabin and just started crying.
I know.
and
she needs a break from you.
She does.
Yes.
She does. So, but that, you know, it's challenging to go away with other families.
Yes,
and there was moments.
Yes, it is.
But actually what that meant was then I could play, much to my horror, a game of netball with Miss Ten. But she was so happy because I could do that with her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Also, I went into the primary school, and I did kitchen garden with Miss Ten. So it was an hour of cooking. So we made flatbread. We made the salad of the imagination. And they set the tables. They did all the chopping. I got to know some of her little friends. Yeah. I haven't been in the school for a year.
We haven't been allowed to be in the school for a year.
So I haven't seen, I just want to cry, I haven't seen 10-year-olds laughing collectively for over a year.
I know.
Because they weren't laughing on the Zooms.
No, and you think of all,
all I they mean, missed out on last year.
All they missed.
You know, and they were so cute. And I said, I'm coming to do kitchen again with grade 5s because they're good.
Yes.
It's better than doing it with grade 3s.
Yes.
Like, whoops. They've got the knife in the container. And I just, my cup was overflowing.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I just sat down and then Miss Turner was like, my mum's really famous. She's got a podcast that's gone viral. And the teacher, it wasn't even her teacher, it was this young guy teacher. And I was like, let's not talk about that. It's gone viral.
It's gone viral.
It's so funny.
Oh, well, God, she's proud.
She is proud. And just one more one.
No, you're
okay?
Right. It's your podcast.
Beautiful Marnie, our listener from Scotland, sent me a sea pipe today, which was a little video to show me her in Scotland. And so she just said, I know how much you love Scotland, even though you haven't been there. Your grandma's from here. And I know you love Jamie Fraser. So she sent this video of, I can't remember the name of the place, this beautiful place. And here I am. It was her 39th birthday. So happy birthday,
happy
Marnie.
Happy birthday,
so
Marnie.
So on her 39th birthday, she's thinking about me.
Aww.
What a kind thing.
Oh,
I cried. Because
yes.
We just had a really hard morning. And I was just like, wow.
Oh, there's Scotland.
There's Scotland.
I
just thought I might have got there.
I know. We will one day, maybe.
I don't know.
My beautiful cousin in Ireland, because, you know, I would have gone by now to see her, and she keeps sending me photos or tagging me and thinks, we're going to go here, we're going to do this. It just seems further and further like a dream.
I know, I just don't even think.
No, I know. And we can't, you know, at the moment we are just stoked to still be able to go more than 5Ks. So the thought of getting on a plane and going overseas.
If you want to send us a sea pipe.
Yeah, send us
just
where
send
you
us
are.
Send us a little video and show us where you are. That's,
yeah,
you know,
we'd love to see
We would
see
love
it.
To see that.
Yeah. All right. My laugh this week was it was a big laugh. I don't know if you listened to the book episode where I talked about everything a teenage boy and everything a teenage girl should know.
Yeah.
Well, I asked Mum, she can't find everything a teenage girl should know, but Jenny had everything a teenage boy should know because someone gave it to her son and she looked at it and went, he's never getting that.
Wow.
But she kept it.
She kept
so
it.
So she sent it to me. So number one daughter's boyfriend and I, he's 26.
You read it together.
Yes. we really, really did. We read about self-abuse. Can you guess what that's about? Anyway, you know what? It just was fun. So now I'm on the hunt, and a couple of peas have said they'll send me everything a teenage girl should know. I don't want you to pay for postage. I'm sure I can find one. So
yes,
I'll let you know. I'll let you know. And there's got to be some of my old church friends, but I can't really ask them. I know they've got it.
People really loved the book episode. Oh, I got lots of feedback. Lovely. Yeah, people loved it.
Thank you. I think Marnie as well. She wrote all the books. She did the show notes.
She did do the show notes. Oh, my gosh. Because Arca was like, wow, guys, thanks.
I know.
Thanks for giving me the week off.
We really couldn't have done that, Arca.
It's in the Hangout, so maybe we'll try and post it to the main page or something.
Yeah, maybe. I'll have a look
anyway,
at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my laugh. And then the other laugh, this is a big deal. I've been to the city twice this week. So Comedy Republic is that little comedy club in the city that Alex Dyson runs. And they are getting all these comedians to do their pre-Melbourne Comedy Festival because they haven't done live stand-up for a year. And so they're all really nervous.
Of course.
So it's amazing. They come with a notepad and a book and they like write down like, oh, that joke didn't work or that one was amazing or I'm going to – yeah. And so it's like – seeing the back end.
Oh, that's fun.
And it costs $18.
Oh, I'd love to go.
Yeah, so I saw Kitty Flanagan for an hour and then I saw three other girls and the one that just blew my mind was Kirsty Webernick and she, Google her, go to a show if you can go. Just, I don't know, I was, you know when you're just like lost, you're like, I could listen and listen and listen. She's amazing. Anyway, and the people that I went with were like, oh, she was incredible. So I was like, not just me. So, yeah, and it was just I laughed and laughed and laughed, obviously, watching it, and then we just all felt light walking out.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
We've been out. Oh. Although my husband did say to me today, are you home tonight? You've been out a bit lately. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm coming back, baby.
Yeah, this remember?
This is 2019, Kate.
Yeah, she's going back out. She's got the kids' dinner ready. Bye-bye.
Well, my laugh was the same day as Cresty the guinea pig died. Oh. And this is, I don't mean to be rude, but I sent Mum a text and I said, I'm just letting you know that Cresty's passed away today.
Yeah.
And she wrote back and said, oh, Cresty and Michael Gudinski, Prince Philip will be next. she said, it all goes in threes.
I don't think Cresty can be joined in that group. No offence to Cresty's greatness, but...
Mum, I don't think the guinea pig goes in those threes.
And we're going to be like this in about 20 years. Oh, I'm so sorry, children.
Like it's comedy gold.
It is comedy gold.
Like earnest.
Oh, so earnest.
Yes.
I mean, but yeah, she knows how valued Cresty was in your home.
It'll be Prince Philip next. It happens in threes. That's what she said. And then my sister said, yes, but I don't think Cresty will have a royal funeral.
No, I don't think so. Would you like me to donate a little flag to put on his coffin?
It was a shoebox. And then Millie was like, every time I get new shoes, I save a shoebox for the next guinea pig burial. I'm like, I know. Well, now we don't have to do that
anymore. Oh. Yeah. Those poor children.
I know.
Traumatised by the guinea pigs.
A lot. There's been five guinea pig deaths. It's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. Mind you, guinea pigs don't live for very long. They've been very loved and well looked after.
Oh, my goodness.
They're the most loved guinea pigs ever.
And not eaten by a dog. Like, you know, there were some rough times.
Yeah.
I was like, whew. Anyway, that is it.
Hang on. Before we go, we're going to tell you to rate and review. We're going
there's
to tell
some
you.
Some good ones.
You've probably heard in the Snap Pea that we're going to do Pea Week. So that's it leading up to Mother's Day.
International Pea Week.
Yep. So listen to the Snap Pea if you haven't heard. And, you know, we're just going to harp on and on and on about it. And I wanted to thank a couple more of our supporters. I wanted to thank Kesta, who said, you are changing lives and thank you for opening my eyes.
Aww.
And Helen, who said, thank you for helping me to be a kinder person.
Aww.
I love your work.
Oh, goodness.
Yep. And this person who said, thank you for a great show. It's making the winter less dreary in London.
Aww.
That was Sonia.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you,
Sonia. Yeah. So we love you all. We love that you have taken time out of your busy days and expensive lives to give
more
us some money.
OMO. And Miss Nine this morning, she goes, I love the feel of this. What did she call it? This powder? I said, I know. I said, it's OMO. She goes, it smells beautiful. She was tipping it out and pouring it.
And I was like,
I know, this stuff.
OMO, changing lives.
I can afford it now.
Yep. So.
And I bought a new Gorman dress.
Yes, there you go.
Thank you.
Yes.
Should be arriving today, I think.
Yep. And the booklet is probably going to be launched in Pea Week. So your money, OMO, and a booklet. I mean, I don't think it gets much better than that. Anyway, see you, peace.
See you, bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.